Hello out there, we're on the air, it's hockey night tonight. Tension grows, the whistle blows, and the puck goes down the ice. The goalie jumps and the players bump and the fans all go insane. Someone roars, Bobby scores at the good old hockey game.
It's on like Donkey Kong.
Woohoo! Are you ready?
Yes!
I said, are you ready?
Jason Dale!
That is too hot.
I like peni.
That's what she said.
This is a puck.
Hump. I love BJ's Pab Thwabby.
PP Herder.
Blood Puddle.
First Circus.
Steven Ricker's Testicles.
He Butted.
Boom Chicka Wow Wow.
No No Touchy Place.
Beer.
Broken Penis.
Vitellary Filipula.
Filipuli.
Filipalapala.
Wow, 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 wow.
Use your big boy words.
La 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 la.
Who's the brains in this outfit? My point exactly.
Oh, the good old hockey game is the best game you can name. And the best game you can name is the good old hockey game.
The amusement park, now taken over by Iceman Insights. He's the host with the most, the senior writer, the webmaster, IcemanManiacs.com, Michael Shockley. Michael, so good to have you in studio once again.
I'm the host with the most what?
Exactly.
Gotcha. Okay.
And of course, a special guest, as mandated by my wife, Tommy Mason. He returns. Quote, if you want to sleep in this house, you will have Tommy Mason on again.
Wow.
Unquote.
Laying
so here ball. He is, Tommy Mason. Thank you for joining us in the studios on this beautiful Wednesday afternoon at 4 p.m.
It is my pleasure. Downtown Evansville is beautiful on a day like today.
It sure is.
Very much so, yes. So on a day like today... Well, it was a different day last week.
Last Thursday.
Not such a good day last Thursday. The Iceman on St. Patty's Day lost 4-0 to the Fort Wayne Comets, but that was the secondary part of the story, actually the tertiary part, because there were two big stories on that game. First off, Tommy, let's get your take on the hour and 10-minute delay for the failure of green ice. For those who did not hear, the ice was supposed to be green, dyed green for the St. Patrick's Day game.
It was green.
It was green. But then the players went out for warm-ups, and both teams reported that it was too sticky. They couldn't cut right. They couldn't skate right. It was a safety concern. So, lo and behold, numerous dry cuts of the Zamboni, edging around the boards. An hour and 10 minutes later, we finally get the game underway at about 7:25 for a game that was supposed to start at 6:15. What was your perspective of that entire...
I was very selfish and was thinking about my own sleep pattern that night. I thought, man. And I actually almost got Jeff, one of the promo guys, to fill in the third period. I thought, you know what? I could just have him do the third period. I'll just do the first two. And I thought, well, if you're here, you can't. Then you could never say you did every Iceman period at the Ford Center. And you just wouldn't want to do that, especially with three games left. But, yeah, I was thinking about that, and that was terrible. Now, I did notice something. We got all the way. No one noticed anything. Now, I did notice one thing when I came out there to kind of pick up a puck or two during the warm-ups or way before warm-ups. There's a puck laying there. Usually when you go pick up that puck, it's stuck to the ice surface, kind of like your tongue would be, I guess. And that night it wasn't. I didn't really think about it until later. And my feet were also a little slippery because I didn't have my cleats on yet. So I think the lights had already went down and – The Comet players were out there on the ice already, kind of checking things out, like they were trying out new skates. I didn't know what they were out there doing, but they were selling it. They were slipping and falling like they were, like it's the first time they had skates on. But then I noticed the referees come out and just fly out of the gate, and there's no problem. They're just going around the place, no problem. I thought, well, that seems to be okay. Now the lines were really faded. You couldn't see the lines. The blue and the red line were definitely deep underneath that ice, so I think it was just too thick or I don't know, it didn't look right from the beginning, but I just thought it was an odd time for them to decide to check the ice at that point. It's like, we could have done this an hour ago.
Yeah,
but I don't know what goes into that.
I don't know either.
So the game ended at 10:30-ish.
Well, nah, it was 10 o'clock. It just ended up being like a 7:15 like start, but it started like 7:35. Right. And I think the lack of stoppages or whatever, but certainly a fight in the middle of it caused more of a delay.
Yes.
But I don't think we got it there much past 10 o'clock. I think I was home by 10, and I left right away. So
and what time did you have to get up Friday morning?
Got up at 1:15, 1:30, and I was at work at 2. So, and you can't come home and just go right to bed.
Oh,
especially
no.
when I have all that stuff to tell the girlfriend. I'm like, oh, well, I don't know what happened. And
wait.
Honey,
wait,
let me tell you about my day.
That's going to break a lot of hearts, just you mentioning that you have a girlfriend.
Yeah. So, anyway.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, it was just, you can't really come down from that. So, I had to tell her all this stuff, especially, you know, the big debacle there in the second period. That was awesome.
Yeah, so that was probably the biggest line brawl we've had in an Iceman game since the Chi-Town Shooters days. Yeah. 105 penalty minutes in a single announcement. I appreciated the way you introduced it, that you were going to read a novel that you had written called Penalties.
Yeah, and there was a lot of stuff that I had kind of misconstrued from them and then combined incorrectly into that read. So a couple of those guys were kicked out of the game by me.
they you wielded the power.
Again, when you give me that much to decipher at once, it's probably not going to end well. But yeah, you're looking at like, what was it, 8 or 9 players that were in that.
Yeah. So. How much does Steve Halber's head spin when you say things like 10-minute game misconduct?
Yeah, it probably does, but that's a conversation for off the air at times.
I did want to talk about some of your cohorts. You talked a little bit last week about Jack and Jamie, and we've talked a little bit about Bridget, but just wanted to take some time to go a little more detail from your perspective as the influence that these people have had on you that you've been working with every game for 5 years now.
Yeah, and there's plenty of people upstairs, too.
Right, right. So we'll start with Steve Halber, who's been by your side for every game, pretty much. I don't know that he's missed one.
I don't know if he did the very first game or not, or if he was working in conjunction with Brian Vall. I don't know how that went, but I distinctly remember Chad Burley being in the box the first game.
Yeah, he's been there.
And the first thing he said to me was, "Have you ever announced at a hockey game?" I said, "No." And I didn't know Chad Burley so well, and I didn't know how nice of a guy he was. I don't think he liked my response, so he said, "Have you ever been to a hockey game?" And I said, "One." And his polite reply was, "Okay." And then you could just tell he was like, "What am I going to do at this point?
Yeah.
The game's about
this
to start.
This is going to be interesting." Yeah, so. Any thoughts on Steve in your time working with him?
Yeah, and it's just you need to get help from people, and that's the person to ask for that. I don't know how he does what he does with his little spider arms, and he's doing three people's jobs. I mean, I've seen it firsthand up in Fort Wayne. The guy does my job and Steven's job in some manner, and I just don't know how that's done. Or they do producer job or soundboard job and all that at the same time. But, yeah, it's a lot to really, I don't know, cram together.
Yeah, he's manning the clock. He's keeping an eye out for media timeouts. He's making sure that they don't do a media timeout if it's on an icing.
Right.
And you can't do one during a middle of a power play, but you can do one at the start of a power play. And
And a lot of that helps. And you don't know where you're going next. So you ask, and then, of course, there's another conversation going on in the headset, so you have to be mindful of that, too. And they're trying to keep stats on the fly while game. And I know if the game's already started and I didn't write down that time, I can usually get it from him, but it's one of those things where it's a nice luxury to have it already written down sometimes, especially on in goals, because things happen quickly and you forgot to write the time down.
Yep.
And I've learned to back time real well. Of course, you learn that in radio anyways, but I had to revisit that subject.
Math is hard. So on each of your sides, you have Jack Howe in one penalty box and Jamie Huff in the other.
Yeah, and I hope they come back next year.
They do about, 32 minimum games.
Yeah,
a year.
Almost all of them.
Yeah. Every once in a while, Jack will take one off because he wants to sit with the grandbabies up in the stands kind of thing. But they are just the bookends. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're there holding it up, holding it all together week in and week out.
Yeah, I hope they do come back, though. And I don't know if anyone's reached out to them. But I think that would be perfect for them to be back there. A lot of people would appreciate that, too. I think the players, they're just very mindful of what's going on. I mean, like I said, I didn't know you couldn't walk on the ice the other night until I was told by Jamie, "Hey, you got to wait till they're gone." And it's like, okay, I learned something every night. And again, I just learned something. So, yeah, just treat them with a lot of respect. They do a good job. They're very loyal to the hockey community. And I don't know. And I always like to, you know, hear stories about Dave Huff as well. And yeah. It's sad that we never got to experience the Dave Huff experience in the Iceman era at the Ford Center, and only did folks experience Dave Huff at Swander. I just like the man's sense of humor, because I don't know if he has a sense of humor, and that's why he's funny. I mean, he finds mean things funny, and I like people like that. And, you know, never got to experience that. And I didn't know him when that accident happened on opening night. So he's legendary.
Yes, he is.
We still talk about him 5 years later.
Yeah, I mean, he pretty much christened the Ford Center Ice.
Yes, he did.
Before a hockey player ever bled.
Yeah, the first blood spilled. Yep. Bridget McDonald, you've spent many nights with her in the box with you.
Yeah, she's married. She's... Make sure you say that. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Shane's a good man. You got to make sure you preface it with...
Yeah.
At the games.
Yes.
She, and I'm excited that she's over with us, and I haven't seen her but one time since then. She still had a name tag of some gentleman on her door, and I just kept referring to her as Kevin. You guys met Kevin? He's hot. But, we're excited that I'm glad that she landed on her feet, too, and was able to find employment and not have to delay, you know, and risk any kind of stress for her and her family, too. Because I know they've been sweating that stuff since Thanksgiving, yep. A lot of those families.
Well, and it's... kind of think about this interesting situation that we're all going through, whether we're fans.
It's very interesting. It's intriguing. It's just,
But as you know, as fans, do I go to Owensboro? Do I not go to Owensboro? You know, as it's all playing out, and people who are employed and or slightly employed with the team, but we kind of take for granted, you know, players live this day in and day out with the possibility of trades, with the possibility of being demoted or promoted or anything else. And it's one of those few opportunities where we get to live the lives in the skates of someone else.
Yeah. As a player, you never know where your next day's work is going to be or if you're going to have the next day's work. So another longtime Iceman employee who you spent a lot of time with, who's no longer with the team now, Brian Vall.
Well, he's a pushover, isn't he? He's a very nice man. He was always I never understood why he was so nice. He wielded a lot of power. I wrecked his golf cart one night, and that was the one with the studded tires, and it was really just decked out. And I saw in the Zamboni tunnel, you know, it's just sitting there, keys are in it, and I thought, I'll just jump on. Jamie Huff jumped on. So we did one donut. So I felt like, man, I got a good donut out of that, because I hit the water the right way. There was a little patch of water. So I did it again. This time I really gunned it. And when I turned the wheel, I hit the water as I turned, and the water did not allow the golf cart to turn, and it went right into the wall. And the wheel, were you with the team that season?
Yes, I think I was.
The wheel itself just rolled off the axle, like broke, snapped, front passenger side wheel just snapped and rolled like 20 feet in front of us. And it just it dropped down like a three-wheeler at that point. And she got off like she had no part of it. And there were people, you know, ooh. And it was like school. Well, I had about 10 minutes left in the period before, or the intermission. So I went over there to talk to Brian, like directly, like, you know what? I'm not going to let someone tattle on me. I'm just going to go over like a man and tell him I did something wrong. And I did. And he goes, Tommy, what's wrong? I go, oh, Brian, it's bad, man. And he goes, no, it's not. It's okay. What happened? And he's just so kind. And I he'd be a great parent. But a pushover. But yeah, he said to me, it's okay. Accidents happen. I go, no, you don't understand. Your wheel is not on the cart anymore. And he was still okay with it. And that just really meant a lot to me that he's not the kind of guy to come just ream you over it. And yeah, I think.
And he's the type of guy too that actually went out and bought the pieces for the repair.
Within the next day. I think they had a game the next night.
And he came in and he repaired it himself. So he's.
So
he was always
Brian Vall experience.
Yeah,
right there.
He's kind of the glue that held it all together. That's why for years we called it the house that Vall built. Yep.
Another of your cohorts, perhaps the most well known, is the recently christened Mansicle Stephen Ricker.
Oh, isn't he an adorable man?
He is. He is.
Yeah, and you don't really. I don't think people really know. I hope. Hopefully, they notice what he does, and it's not. It's subtle things. When he does things purposely, I think that stuff's planned, but sometimes there's just subtle movements he makes, certain eye contact he makes with the camera. He just has a knack for doing that. Comedic timing's there. I notice it, but I don't know if everybody else does or if it translates on the video board, but I think it does, and I think the camera guys must enhance it just a little bit. Sometimes, you know, he'll ask the camera, no, come here, and then they'll zoom in a little bit. No, come here. And it's just the way he does it. It's not just radio. He plays that television camera really well. And I just think a lot of him. I've been other places and I don't think too many people do a better job than he does. And it's not like it's forced. He's not, you know, going through the scripts like he's, you know, supposed to read everything on there. He does it. He goes with the flow and plays with people. And I think people appreciate that. He's good with kids. He's good with old ladies. He's good with everybody, you know. And I think he does one of the best jobs I've seen as an MC.
Well, see, I think one thing that is in his favor when it comes to just going with the flow is he can't read.
Oh, illiterate. I've heard that.
Yes. I agree. I think Steven is very good at playing to the situation. And you talked about it last week that as the PA announcer, you sort of have to read how the emotion is going and play off of it. And he's very good also about adjusting his mindset and his tone based on how the crowd is and how things are going. But
yeah, it doesn't matter if it's a full house or not. He still gives the same effort.
Right.
And he has to. It makes it harder on him if the crowd is small. It makes it harder on everybody, the guys upstairs with the video board and the sound and everything else. But yeah, he wears that. He probably wears it more than everybody else does.
But I think exactly, you know, if we're down 4-0 and there's 500 people in the stands and you just zoomed in on him, you would think we were playing in front of 8,000 people and up by 3 goals. You can't tell the difference based
on
his delivery.
And I hope he comes back. I don't know what his plans are, but I hope he comes back. He's so good at keeping his mouth shut. I'm not that person.
We learned that last week.
Yeah. So I was sitting in the Ford Center maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, and I went, "Steve, what are you going to do?" And he goes, "I don't know yet." And I'm thinking, yeah, you do. You just don't want to say it. And it was only us in the building. I expressed to him how much I would like for him to stay here, and I don't want another MC working a game. You know, I don't want to do it. I won't treat that person the same way I treat Steven. It just won't be the same. He's like, it's just not the same. You know, they got to earn their stripes. This guy's been here the whole time. And in fact, I owe him a big one because he really didn't pitch it too much when I took over the, sorry about that. Took over a public address announcing job, he didn't really care. As much as I thought maybe he would, and now like he says, you wouldn't be able to pry that microphone out of his hand. But I sat there with Steven. I go, "Steven, man, this is a life-changing job. I had a radio job that never even meant this much to people. I don't get paid a whole lot, but it just changes your life." And I was like, "Steven, I have lived down here the better part of 15 years, and just recently started thinking about my own mortality and thought at some point, when you're in a town this long, you wonder where you want to be buried at." And I said, "Man, it wasn't until like a month ago I realized that I would want to be buried in Evansville and not Indianapolis any longer. It's like for some reason I don't really dream about being buried off Holt Road up in Indy as much as I would here." So that I think you cross a threshold. Now, you know, certain people in my life don't like me talking about that stuff, but it's a reality. And I thought I was just trying to make a point that, you know, that's why we put up with this. And that's why I stayed in the area. That's why I went through some tribulations myself just to stay in the area, because the Iceman and the Aces gigs really, really connect me with people. I had no idea we could do this. I didn't know that this is possible. But Steven, I would hope, that would have these same feelings. He just won't really express them as easily as I will.
We talked a little bit last week about all the public address announcers around the ECHO. Mike and I kind of went back and forth a little bit because I haven't really heard a bad one, but there's two different breeds. But I have seen horrible MCs. I have seen...
Now, this wasn't like the first 2 weeks of that season, was it?
No.
It could have been the same position I was in.
Yeah. No, no. These guys, that is their... Like, there's the guy in Gwinnett that wears all these zany clothes and he's always dancing, and there's other guys that are just berating the audience and screaming at them, and Steven Rickard is one of the few and far between that is fun and makes everything entertaining and still professional, and he does a fantastic job.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever heard racist voice with someone over a CB or getting panicked about not being
or getting
in a
hit
spot.
With a frisbee or a flying pizza thing.
In a spot, or he's really calm and treats people with respect.
He has the right personality for this market,
And he's a good demographic for it too. I mean, a lot of our fans are in his demographic or my demographic, so. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense.
But I think the biggest thing for Steven Rickard is he does it because he loves it. Mm-hmm. It's about the relationships and the people. And it's not about what's happening on the ice. It's about what's happening in the stands. And the passion he has for it is really the trump card that he has that I don't know that anyone else would be able to replicate. So, yeah, I'm with you. I hope he comes back and continues doing this in the future.
And I think he would.
It just won't be the same without him.
I'm just saying. I'm just going to go ahead and call my shot on that one. But and I'm sorry I don't get to spend more time with him at the games. I feel like I never get to see him. When I see him, I'm overly excited to see him. And then he's like, "Oh, how you doing?" And he's been saying hi to everybody all night. You got to think he's exhausted by saying hi to everybody every night. And here I am coming up to him, you know, and I have more of a dynamic personality and I kind of overwhelm him with it. And you just don't think that he even likes you at that point. Like, well, he's tired at this point. You know, he's not impressed. So it's one of those things I see.
So another name that you have made famous, I guess, and not just at the Ford Center, is Chad Beefcake Burley. So I'm sure you know the story. Derek and I both know the story.
Oh, about the bank?
Yes. Yeah. So for those who don't know the story, Chad, at one point, a couple of years back, goes to the bank, shows his ID. They look at his ID, and they look up and say, "Are you Chad Beefcake Burley?"
Yeah.
And I'm guessing Beefcake is not actually on his ID.
No,
so
that
flattered
that tells
me
quite
you
a bit. Yeah.
What that means.
Doing that, he's such a nice man. Again, I'm not just trying to sugarcoat all these people we talk about, but he especially first of all, he looks like Clark Kent. He looks like he
yes,
could play Clark Kent in a TV version of Superman very easily. And he's also has some of the same passions I do with like open wheel racing. He's just a geek for it. He's a transplanted, he's an Evansville guy, but he goes up to Indy and spends a lot of time up there and knows all the things that I know about Indy. And it's just amazing to talk to him. He never takes part. I never had him have a drink with me. But, you know, he'll walk by a backstage bar and grill while I'm out, you know, sucking down a heater and a beer, and he'll stop right at the gate and he seems excited to talk to me for a few moments and then he moves on. He's just and in fact, the girl I date, Carrie is her name. She knows him from a previous job and knew exactly what I meant when I was talking about his character. So he made a huge impression on me. And just the way he does things by the book. And I know he has a refereeing background. And so, yeah, he's one of those people that he should be a notary public.
Yeah.
like he's trustworthy. Yeah. He is a notch above everyone else in society. Like he is an honest human being. And I just think a lot of people like that. So, and he is definitely to a T what I just described. I don't think. Maybe he's got dead people in his closet. I don't know. Probably not though.
How about Lindsay Call Me Mabry? Do you actually deal with her one-on-one?
No,
much?
Not as often. Again,
and we could talk
upstairs,
a little
really
bit about
that.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a community, and part of it is the headset community. So,
yeah.
And there's two of those because the Ford Center is communicating to their cameramen back to the base station up on the fifth floor.
So I have two people having conversations with other people the whole night.
Yeah,
right.
And you talk about living on an island. At some point, they're talking smack, and they're talking smack about what I'm doing here. And
and you're just talking to yourself.
Yeah, I have nobody.
The fifth floor crew, your off-ice officials, the only way they communicate to Tommy, you can't meet each other at intermission because Tommy's down at the lower level and they're up in the fifth
level.
Yeah,
and I wanted
a little
to
bit
do
of talk
game.
Back and forth.
I wanted to do a game upstairs just so I could see what goes into that because I would get the same information I would get from Steven. I would just get it from them. And if I was in the same area or in one of those booths and not being a distraction to what they're doing, I just wanted to do one game up there. I've never watched any sporting event at the Ford Center from above the floor level. And I mean, Aces or Icemen, or as I like to call, Acemen. Yeah, that's
Acemen.
My
there.
Acemen games.
Dave's Taxi.
Yeah. I think folks know how that was. Well, that was just born out of a mistake. See, there's somebody that blasts from the past. It's Corey Edwards, who will be mayor of Evansville one day if things work out his way. He just knows everybody in town, it seems like. But yeah, he was mad. He's the one that really changed how we do power plays, and we just shut up and let the music and let the crowd have their time. And during a power play, just mute all those promos. And it really kind of simplified everything. Then it didn't seem so nauseating to read something every, you know, stoppage. And he's the one that instituted that real, hey, let's not do that. And so even in that one year he was there down there where I'm at, it revolutionized the presentation. And it's just a guy that's just, he just thought better of not reading during those and interrupting the play on the ice and taking advantage of that. Dave's Taxi was just born out of somebody. I guess there was a bad file. I don't know what it was. It was on the big screen upstairs that never fired. And that's all they were supposed to get. They were just supposed to get a slide during a certain time of the game, and it didn't work. So the first night he's like, hey, can you just say Dave's Taxi? I was like, okay. So we did. And I said something about, you know, it was a very, very vague joke that time. And I go, you got a phone number? He goes, no, I don't have it. I was like, well, it's a taxi company. It was to be the most important thing is to have a phone number. You know, and then we didn't have it the first night, but then the next night he goes, the thing's still broke. Can you mention him again? I go, can I do it differently? He goes, I don't care. At that point, he was just annoyed by it. And then the third night he goes, I imagine you're going to do it again. It's just, it's dope, bro. You just want to do it again. And it became something different every night. And I thought that was a lot of fun. And that you could just make up things as you go. It just something people could listen for, you know, within 10 minutes of the game being over. Maybe they sat in their seat just a little longer to hear that night.
They got to hear.
Yeah. It's like the comic strips in the newspaper. You know, you read the real hard stuff and then you're like, you know what? Now I'm just bored.
go find something easy.
Comics. And there's one, I'm going to go read a Dennis the Menace comic here. And okay, I like that. And then you leave after you've read that. That's what it became. So I hope people enjoyed that. I don't think you can really do that again. And I know Brian Ball, being the promotion or sponsorship minded person, probably wanted to shoehorn something else into that. I don't think you could. It was an organic situation. It was just something me and Corey Edwards found that funny. And we didn't care. It's kind of like Andy Kaufman. You know, if him and Bob Zamuda, is that his name?
Mm-hmm.
If they find it funny, then it's funny. Yeah. And if me and Corey Edwards were laughing about it and no one else got the joke, great. I don't care. Corey Edwards and me thought it was funny, so that's why we did it.
It was funny. People loved it.
It took a while.
And then the next season, when it didn't come back, everybody was outraged over it.
Well, you add other things in. You can't make things happen, but you find little spots. You don't want to listen to the same thing every night, so I just try to do something different.
The ECHL franchise from Indianapolis.
I slipped up the other night.
You did?
I did. Well, I think I did it in a classy way, because it was the last time we played them at home, and it was to thank their fans for being there, and I accidentally thanked their fans. I really didn't mean to do that, but it just seemed like the right thing to do. And yeah, so it slipped out at the very end.
But you're just fundamentally against calling them
I just
them
hate
Indy.
That name. It's, first of all, why is it the Fuel? Why does it have to be anything, you know, why can't it be the Checkers or the Racers? And there's probably a reason Michael has to tell me why it can't be that for legal reasons. But I don't care. I know it can't be the Ice, and I know it can't be the Iceman. And there's other things it can't be, but I don't like the fact that it's Indy. There is no such town as Indy.
Right.
There is a town on the west side of Indy called Indy, and that's the Speedway, but that's it. You quit latching on to that. It's not Chi-Town. It's Chicago. It's, yeah. it's not NYC. It's New York City. I just don't like it. And if I'm from there, that makes me a little madder than if I wasn't from there. I wouldn't care as much if I wasn't from there.
Right.
So I was disappointed in their choice of name.
Hmm. Hey, Tommy. How much time's left?
Yeah, that's weird. And I think I would hope that's born out of frustration. Those people going, hey, he doesn't know what to do. Let's just
Old hockey tradition.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I didn't know that.
Yep. Way old hockey tradition going back to when they first started putting digital clocks on.
And I've had someone visit the game that's went to many, many games and sat on the other side or sat on the attack twice side. And then they sat back behind me one night. They go, hey, did you know that they Yeah, I know. They're like, oh, I had never noticed. Because you really can't hear it across the stadium. But, yeah, that's kind of weird. But I enjoy that. And yeah.
A couple times they've done it early and tried to catch
you
off
guard.
Yeah, they tried
to, or I just forget. And if they don't do it some nights, I'll forget. And I'm notorious for forgetting the Aces games. So I have to like put my hand on the table or pick the microphone up in my hand just to give myself something to remind me, because a foul could happen. I could get distracted and it's 1:05 and I forget the clock started and it's 1 minute again. And you have to do that in the NCAA, at least in the second half. But the Iceman games, it makes it easier. I just wish the Iceman fans would go to more Aces games and do that. And I had one usher do it a couple games this year where he sat on the floor and he just did it right behind me. And I thought that was really neat. And it reminded me. I was like, oh, okay, yeah. But yeah, they've tried like 8 minute mark once. I'm like, I'm not falling for that. What the key is to listen for the 1:17 chant at 1:17 on the clock. And that usually like, no, I got this. Like I knew it was coming. No, I didn't. That totally keyed me into when I needed it.
one of my favorite Derek stories is when he called Guy Lepine,
of all people,
the flying Sasquatch, and that wasn't what he was trying to say. So we've talked about last week and this week things that you've said that maybe weren't the greatest or got you in trouble that you said on purpose. But what, be it on the PA at an Iceman or Aces game or an Otters game when you work there, or on the radio, what is something that stands out in your mind of a slip of the tongue that you really wish you could have back?
No, I have cussed at Bossy Field, but that was it was during the high school All-Star game. Corey Edwards hired me for that, and I didn't know it at the time. I didn't know I'd know him so well later. But I did accidentally utter the S word whisperily onto the microphone. So I think people realized that, he had made a mistake up there and had the music playing too long, and they caught that. But Bossy Field, I'll tell them real quick. There was an Otter Bell that got a baseball with a phone number on it from an opposing player And I did that back, I think, in 2010, 2009. I did it 2 years. Mm-hmm. And the hours were dreadful because the games just don't have a clock on them. So the promo guy goes, hey, this guy brought this ball down to an Otter Bell, and he's got his phone number on it. And I'm like, well, she gave it. She didn't want it. She gave it to a kid. I go, well, don't get the ball. Go down and get that phone number. And so he went down and retrieved the phone number from the kid's ball. And the next inning, and he was the DH. So he had plenty of time between innings to go check his phone. And we posted his phone number up on the big screen and encouraged fans to win an exclusive prize from the Florence Freedom. And his phone, and if you listen to his voicemail, he seemed like just it's a D word. I don't want to say it.
D-bag.
Yeah, exactly. And he just had that cockiness, 27-year-old playing minor league ball. He just seemed like a real. And I thought, this guy's perfect for this. So we put it up on the board, and I guess it got lots of calls, like hundreds of calls in the ballpark. And then we did it again in the fifth inning. The sheriff comes up and goes, hey, are you the one announcing that guy's number? I go, yeah. He goes, you should call the number now. The voicemail's changed. And he was just ragging on Evansville. And then we called again in the seventh inning after we did it again, and it had been changed to just like the generic, you know, call's been forwarded. And so we got him on that. And then the other one was, the only way to affect the game down there was the umpires make a horrible call in like the eighth inning. It is probably the least opportune time to say their names. So I would just politely go, fans, tonight's umpiring crew at first base. And make sure that they had their first names now so that they can get on that umpire just as much as I would. Now, I'm just telling you, hey, what can you do to me, Mr. Umpire? I have just politely announced the three umpires' names.
You forgot earlier, right?
It's the bottom of the eighth, but yeah. Hopefully people know what to do with that information. I'm sorry I didn't get to it early. I forgot to. There's things that you can do to affect it.
How did that go over?
They didn't do a thing about it.
Really?
No, they didn't do anything about it. I think they pointed up there one night. I did something. I can't even remember what it was. But it's just it's born out of frustration late in the game. You see a tie game, 13 runs scored on each side. It's just, oh, we're going to be here forever.
And sometimes, I've been to a lot of baseball games, but Frontier League games seem to go longer than anywhere else.
Yep.
Yeah.
You go to a game that starts at 6:30, and the next thing you know, it's 10:45, and you're only in the seventh.
I'll say it, best baseball is played at Braun Stadium. That's off the Lloyd Expressway, if you want to.
There you go.
Just saying, better pitching. All right, so yeah, I haven't done much at an Iceman game that would have caused. Oh, there, I did get tongue-lashed by Luke Burkett once for I think it was a myriad of things, but
let me ask you a question.
Yeah, let me ask you a question.
Which I said to you last week, and you didn't catch it.
Well, it's been so long since I heard it or anybody cared about it. But yeah, he told me I couldn't do that anymore. He also griped at me because Brian Ball gave me permission to do a game upstairs, and then he nixed that idea and said, "Who do I think I am for Brian Ball?" Didn't he have VP in front of his name? I figured he was pretty big.
At one point, he did.
Yeah. So I figured I was asking the right guy. And then he reamed me so hard over the phone. I've never been talked to like that, and I respect him for that. I shook his hand the next time. I've never been talked to like that over the phone. That's awesome. I really was cowering. And he was I like Luke quite a bit. He's just dry. And the other thing, and then he scolded me for saying something, because Steven gets really heated. And if Steven's mad about a call, then I know I should be mad about it. If Steven's not mad about the call, and that annoys me sometimes too. If I have an opinion, let me have my opinion. But yeah, I only get really angry if he's really mad about something. I'm like, yeah, you know, because he knows. And they're at the end of the game, Toledo Walleye were just stewing after the game. They had beat us, and I have to do my little read and make things seem nice. And yeah, we got beat 4-1, but hey, these are your Icemen, and you know. And I imagine the players, they got to put their sticks in the air, and they don't like being out there at that moment either, as we saw, you know, illustrated early in the year. Or it was last year, maybe. Anyway, they're trying to do their little thing, you know. And the Walleye are still on the ice, and Steven's like, they're in last place. I go, are they legitimately in last place? And he said, yes. I said, okay, fans. And again, this is politely mentioned. Fans is the last place team in the league leaves the ice, and our team prepares for Friday night. And I saw that goalie point that stick at me as he went to the tunnel. It's like he knew where I was at. Like, I know you're over there. You're right over there.
You're not up five levels.
I can see you. And then I got in trouble for that. So yeah, Luke wasn't very happy because it just seemed classless, and I imagine it was. But it was in the heat of the moment, and the game was over. Who cares? I'm sure our players enjoyed it. They're like, yes, see, we have a microphone.
That was your version of, hey, scoreboard.
Yeah.
Just not the one
tonight.
Hanging over the ice.
Yeah, not
standing.
And they turned it around, so good for them.
I think that's it.
That is
I think
it.
We're out of time. Again.
Yeah. Just like that. You've been listening to Iceman Insights on the Amusement Park at 96.9 FM. Thank you once again, Tommy Mason, for coming over and drinking us out of coffee and home and sharing a couple of stories with us. Oh, you got to do me another favor.
What's that?
I had you send the message out to the wife last week.
Uh-oh.
If you could say, as in preparation for next season, if you could say, and now your Evansville rainbow butterfly unicorn kittens taking the ice, or however you want to do it, my daughter will go crazy.
Fans, tonight's starting lineup for the rainbow butterfly unicorn kittens. I forgot the Evansville part.
That's right. That's perfect. she has actually been trying to email rainbow butterfly unicorn kittens pictures to Mike Hall. So
it's catchy.
Wow.
Yeah.
They sell a lot of jerseys, though.
Yeah, I know. Maybe we should do that as one of the specialty jerseys.
He is Michael Shockley, the senior writer, the webmaster of the soon-doomed IcemanManiacs.com. For all your information on the Evansville Iceman rosters and everything else, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, IcemanManiacs.com. You've been listening to Iceman Insights on 96.9 FM, WYR.
Thanks for joining us, Tommy.
Thank you, guys.
Music bomb. We'll see you on the radio.
The puck is in. The home team wins the good old hockey game.